Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
We encourage young people in the rising generation to see their own potential to build great spiritual strength.
Truly, my dear young friends, you are a chosen generation. I hope you will never forget it. I hope you will never take it for granted.
It is not by chance that you have been reserved to come to earth in this last dispensation of the fullness of times. Your birth has been foreordained in the eternities. You are youth of a noble birthright.
Hi, I'm Brady Nixon, and thanks for joining us on For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, the media channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today we'll be talking about reaching out to others through friendship and service. I'd like to take you back in time with me to my high school graduation. I can remember that night as if it were yesterday. It was a night of many emotions. I was excited about the future and looking forward to college in the fall, and then a mission the following summer. But at the same time, I was sad to think that all my friends would soon be going their different directions in life as well. That night, we all hugged and cried together on the football field saying our goodbyes. It would be 10 years later at my high school reunion that I would learn about something else that happened that night. Or should I say something that didn't happen that night that should have. In 1997, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland spoke to a group of young single adults about a particular lesson he learned at his 20-year high school reunion. As you listen to the first part of his story, pay attention to what Elder Holland wishes he could change and do differently about his high school experience.
Too often, maybe, we can, usually unwittingly, be quite insensitive to the circumstances and difficulties of those around us. My confession is that I wish I could go back to my youth and there have another chance to reach out to those who, at the time, didn't fall very readily onto my radar scope. We want to feel included and important, to have the feeling we matter to others. In your years, people deserve to have true friendships, the real value of which, like our health, may never be realized until we face life without it. I think that my problem was not that I had too few friends, but almost that I had too many, maybe more friends than anyone I know. But it is the associations I did not have, the friends I didn't reach, that cause me some pain now all these years later.
What did he wish he could change? What would he do differently? The For the Strength of Youth pamphlet reminds us that, quote, to have good friends, be a good friend yourself. Show interest in others and let them know that you care about them. Treat everyone with kindness and respect. Go out of your way to be a friend to those who are shy or do not feel included, close quote. If Elder Holland wishes he could go back and reach out a little bit more to those high school acquaintances who weren't necessarily his closest friends, what can you do right now in school or in your ward or neighborhood to reach out to others? The answer might be simpler than you thought. You simply serve them. As a youth, whenever I thought about service, I always thought of big service projects that involve lots of planning and lots of hard work. Did you know that service to others doesn't always have to be a big, organized service project? We are reminded in the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet that often the most important service is expressed through simple, everyday acts of kindness. Let me read that again. Often the most important service is expressed through simple, everyday acts of kindness. Did you catch that? The most important acts of service we can generally do are not the big, organized service projects. The most important acts of service don't require a lot, if any, advanced planning at all. In fact, the greatest thing it will cost to serve others is usually just a little bit of your time. So, what would be some simple, everyday acts of kindness you can do to serve others? Let's listen to what President Thomas S. Monson has said.
Most service given by priesthood holders is accomplished quietly, without fanfare. A friendly smile, a warm hand clasp, a sincere testimony of truth can literally lift lives, change human nature, and save precious souls.
President James E. Faust also taught us about simple, unselfish acts of service.
Almost every day brings opportunities to perform unselfish acts for others. Such acts are unlimited and can be as simple as a kind word, a helping hand, or a gracious smile.
One similarity I noticed was that both of them said we could smile more. Now really, how hard is that? We can also say a kind word to someone. I know my daughters like it when one of their friends notices when they have done their hair a little differently or have on a new outfit. It can be something as simple as, "You look nice today," or, "I like the way you did your hair." It doesn't have to be big, it just has to be sincere and from your heart. Can you think of a time when your day was made a little brighter because of a friendly smile or a kind word spoken by a friend, brother or sister, or maybe someone you didn't even know very well? That's what Elder Holland was talking about, looking beyond ourselves and reaching out to others we normally don't. Whether we are the giver or the receiver of such acts of simple service, we usually leave with feelings of warmth and gratitude. Can you remember how grateful you felt when someone smiled at you on a particularly hard day? Can you remember how your heart pounded a little bit harder when you were the one who offered the encouraging word, knowing that you brightened up someone's day? It's on these simple acts of service that lasting friendships are built and maintained. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 46 and 47, Jesus taught, quote, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" Close quote. It's easy to give these acts of service to our friends which love you, the Savior taught. But if we look carefully at these verses again, we see that the reward of service comes when we offer these acts of simple service to those who may not be our closest friends. Now, why would the reward of service be greater when it's offered to someone who's not our brother? That's something for you to ponder a little bit more. It was at my 10-year high school reunion that I learned this principle even more. Earlier in that year, we were all invited to fill out a questionnaire of what we had done with our lives during the last 10 years, and what were some of our fondest memories of high school. The night of our reunion, we received copies of everyone's responses bound together in a small book. I was glancing through the book that evening, and one entry caught my attention. It was from someone I remembered from high school, but he wasn't one of my closer friends. It read, "What have you done in the last 10 years?" "I have found my purpose in life. I've married a wonderful woman whose only fault is her poor taste in men." "What is your fondest memory of your senior year?" "Having thrown our hats skyward, I found myself alone in a crowd of hugging teenagers. The first, last, and only person to congratulate me was my father. It was life's greatest lesson on enduring friendships." I couldn't get his words off my mind. Perhaps it was because he was describing me the night of graduation, one of those hugging teenagers who were all around him, yet unaware that in the crowd of classmates, someone felt entirely alone. I looked around the room, hoping that I would see him there at the reunion that night. The scene looked familiar, a crowd of hugging teenagers, now in their late 20s. This time, just like last time, nobody even noticed that he wasn't there. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland related a similar experience he had at his 20-year high school reunion. As you listen to more of his story, think about what he said earlier about what he wished he could change about his high school experience. I think you'll see some similarities between his experience and mine, how someone's life could have been made a little better by others reaching out to them.
In 1979, we held in St. George our 20-year class reunion for Dixie High School. We had great high school years, filled with both state football and state basketball championships, and a host of other hometown USA memories. An effort was made to find current addresses for the entire class and get everyone to the reunion. In the midst of all that fun, I remember the terribly painful letter written by one very bright, but in her childhood somewhat overweight and less than popular young woman, who wrote something like this: "Congratulations to all of us for having survived long enough to have a 20-year reunion. I hope everyone has a wonderful time, but don't reserve a place for me. In fact, I have spent most of these past 20 years trying to forget the painful moments of our school days together. Now that I am nearly over those feelings of loneliness and shattered self-esteem, I cannot bring myself to see all of that great class and run the risk of remembering that again. Have a good time and forgive me. It is my problem, not yours. Maybe I can come at the 30-year mark, which I am very happy to report she did. But she was terribly, terribly wrong about one thing. It was our problem, and we knew it.
Maybe that's why I couldn't get out of my mind the words my friend had written in our high school reunion memory book. Perhaps that's why it hurt not to see him there. I felt like Elder Holland. It was my problem, and I knew it. It was a great lesson for me to learn, even 10 years too late. I am happy to report, however, that at our 20-year class reunion, he was there. I was looking for him more than anyone else that night. When I finally saw him, my heart began to pound a little harder, and I knew that I had to say something to him. But how do you go up to someone you only casually knew during high school and say, "You probably don't remember me, but you've had a profound influence on my life"? I am happy to report that I was finally able to talk with him, and I even found the courage to let him know how his words in that 10-year memory book profoundly changed my life. He graciously brushed it aside and simply said, "I think I was just having a bad day when I wrote that." I'm happy to report that today we are official friends on Facebook. Elder Holland concludes his story with this bit of counsel for each of us that is in harmony with what For the Strength of Youth pamphlet teaches about friends.
I cannot help but wonder what I might have done to watch out a little more for the ones not included, to make sure the gesture of a friendly word or a listening ear or a little low-cost casual talk and shared time that might have reached far enough to include those hanging on the outer edge of the Jeff Holland social circle, and in some cases barely hanging on at all. In acknowledging that, I make an appeal for us to reach beyond our own contentment, move out of our own comfort and companion zone, to reach those who may not always be so easy to reach. I might not have been able to heal all the wounds of those I met in my young adult years, your years. But I can't help think if I had tried even harder to be more of a healer, more of a helper, more of a friend, a little less focused on myself, a little more focused on others, some days, some few days, in the life of those God placed in my path, would have been a little better.
Now I realize that it would have been almost impossible for me to realize the night of high school graduation that one of my classmates was feeling entirely alone on what should have been a happy occasion. But I cannot help to wonder how this story would have had a different ending had I or any one of us spoken a simple word of congratulations or offered any of the other simple acts of service we have learned about: a friendly smile, a handshake, a kind word, a helping hand, or a little low-cost casual talk to a fellow classmate on graduation night. In the October 2010 General Relief Society meeting, President Monson explains,
"There is a serious need for the charity that gives attention to those who are unnoticed, hope to those who are discouraged, aid to those who are afflicted. True charity is love in action. The need for charity is everywhere."
You're listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, the media channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Brady Nixon, and today we're talking about friendship and service. Instead of regretting opportunities of service I missed in high school, I decided that I would try to be more vigilant of those around me that everyone else seemed to be overlooking. To help me remember this, I have hanging in my classroom the Mormon ad from the October 1993 New Era, which depicts four cute puppies huddled around a bowl of food. Each of the four dogs has their head buried in the bowl of food. There doesn't seem to be any room for one more dog around the bowl, and yet there is a fifth dog in the picture who's coming toward the bowl of food, hoping to find something to eat. The caption under the picture says, "Make room for everyone." The tiny print at the bottom of the Mormon ad then says, "Look around. Is someone starving spiritually or socially because your group has turned its back?" I have come to appreciate this even more lately. Recently, my family moved across the United States to Utah. If you have ever had to move, you know how hard it can be to leave your old school, ward, friends, and everything you know and love behind. It can be even more frightening to go to a new school and not know anyone, and then try to break into a new circle of friends, or go to your new ward and not see anymore the familiar faces of your old ward. As a teenager, this can be especially difficult. I have thanked Heavenly Father many times for those who welcomed my children into their already established group of friends. You are an answer to our prayers. Thank you. Now, isn't that neat to think that you can be the answer to someone's prayers and not even know it simply by being kind and friendly? I recently finished reading President Monson's biography. One thing that kept coming up over and over were stories where President Monson felt impressed to reach out to someone. President Monson always seemed to listen to those impressions and reach out to someone. In fact, there is a quote by President Monson on the back cover of the video biography, On the Lord's Errand. It reads, "The sweetest experience I know in life is to feel a prompting and act upon it, and later find out it was the fulfillment of someone's prayer or someone's need. And I always want the Lord to know that if he needs an errand run, Tom Monson will run that errand for him." Close quote. We should all want to follow President Monson's example and follow the promptings we may receive to reach out to someone, even if we may not know why. When I was a teenager, Elder Robert L. Backman of the 70 taught,
"Reaching out to others is not an easy thing to do, particularly when you're young. To take the hand of another at the risk of your own popularity takes a mature, Christ-like love. Yet our Savior made no distinction between young and old when he declared, 'As I have loved you, that ye also love one another.' How desperately we need that kind of caring in our world today. Most of us have a difficult time resisting those who have a genuine love for us. Such people have a way of becoming important to us because we know we are genuinely important to them. The cry of youth today is for genuine concern and for meaningful relationships with our peers. And when I speak of meaningful relationship, I think immediately of the golden rule, 'Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.' As teenagers, that's a difficult thing to do. Charity for those outside of our circle of friends is difficult to comprehend when we feel so comfortable within the confines of our group. But if we look at the life of our Savior, we see that he didn't leave his group, the apostles, or the love of those friends about him. He merely opened his arms to all who would listen. He increased his fold. So, we do not have to leave our group to learn to care for the feelings of our peers. We just need to open our arms and increase our friendships."
To summarize these principles of friendship and service we've been discussing, let's use some words from a favorite hymn, "Lord, I Would Follow Thee," written by Susan Evans McLeod. "Savior, may I learn to love Thee, walk the path that Thou hast shown." I have always found it a little interesting that one of the first things we are invited to do in this hymn is to learn to love the Savior. I found this invitation interesting because it never really occurred to me that loving the Savior was something that you had to learn how to do. A scripture in the Book of Mormon gives us one of the biggest clues on how we learn to love the Savior. It is found in Mosiah 5:13. It reads, "For how knoweth a man the master whom he has not served, and who is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart?" This became one of my favorite Book of Mormon scriptures because it taught me that the way I learned to love the Savior was to serve him. I also knew from Mosiah 2:17, a seminary scripture mastery verse, that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Isn't it interesting that service, even simple acts of service, is at the heart of learning to love the Savior? The next phrase from the hymn that I think teaches an important lesson about service is, "Pause to help and lift another." The word pause reminds me of a button on my TV remote. I push the pause button when I'm watching a program and I need to stop it just briefly to quickly do something else. Even though the stop button on the remote will do the same thing, I use the pause button because I know that whatever it is I need to do won't take very long. Can't our simple acts of service be performed the same way? They don't require us to press the stop button of our lives and stop everything we're doing to perform some grandiose act of service for the poorest and neediest person in our ward. Remember that for the most important acts of service, we just need to take time to pause whatever we're doing, just long enough to offer that kind word or simple smile. Since we began with high school reunions, let's listen to one final story of a 20-year high school reunion, this time told by Elder Joe J. Christensen of the 70.
At a 20-year high school reunion, one of the graduates had a surprising conversation with one of her classmates that went something like this. "I came to this reunion after all these years, hoping you'd be here so I could thank you. My high school experience was hard for me. You may not have known it, but you were the only friend I had in high school. I wondered if maybe the seminary teacher had assigned you to be nice to me. Did he?" "No, he didn't assign me." "Well, you didn't know it, but every day I looked for you because I knew that you would talk to me. You made me feel better about myself. Now I'm married and have a large family. During these past years, I've thought many times of what you meant to me, and I wanted to tell you that." Close quote. There are those who wake up every morning dreading to go to school or even to a church activity because they worry about how they will be treated. You have the power to change their lives for the better. The Lord is counting on you to be a builder and to give them a lift. Think less about yourself and more about the power you have to assist others, even those within your own family.
Brothers and sisters, the Lord is counting on us to build people up and to give everyone the lift they may need. May you always be a true friend to those friends you already have. May you have the courage to follow the example of the Savior and reach out to others so that the Lord is able to use you as an instrument in His hands. I'm Brady Nixon, and you've been listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For a free download of this episode or to listen to Episode 2 of Youth Voices, the story of one youth who reached out in friendship to others, visit mormonchannel.org. For updates on youth programming, join the Mormon Channel Facebook page. Thanks for listening.